Hello, my friends out there in Internet Radio Land. This is Blake Ruby. How are you doing? I'm here in San Antonio. It's a beautiful day. The sun's going down. About 85 degrees. Getting a lot cooler. Last week, we had a couple of cool mornings. I came out here to telework, and it was about 50 degrees. And I think this is a rough time of the year. We need to be careful, all of us. When the weather changes, to ensure we don't get sick, you know, when we transition from the warm days, warm, hot days, to the colder days, you know, when summer transitions into autumn and winter. So be careful. Make sure you get enough oxygen, you know, enough fresh air, and exercise, eat the right foods, you know, pull out all the stops, so to speak, to keep yourself feeling well. And I felt a little bit wheezy myself, I believe, it was about 3 days ago. I believe that a lot of the sickness that I've had before in the past, you know, getting the flu about once a year, once every 2 or 3 years, and throughout the years, is because of eating something that was off, not fresh, you know, food poisoning, if you will. And also eating too many sweets, you know, not fruit, but like the processed sugar. I had a cheesecake the other week. We went to this restaurant called Papado's, which is here in Texas and in the southern United States, I think. They have Louisiana seafood, and they have this cheesecake. I'm not much for eating sweets, never have been. But I got to admit, that's delicious tasting. Cheesecake is huge, first of all. And then they cover it with the strawberry syrup and put strawberries on the plate. And my wife and I, when we go there, she likes to go. And says, let's go to Papa Do's. And I said, okay. The menu's a lot different now because of COVID. There used to be a lot more variety. They had a lot more variety. Now they only have certain things. But one of them is the cheesecake. And so I usually get a Greek salad. And she'll get another kind of salad. And they used to have a pasta, a small little pasta dish with mushrooms and vegetables. And that was nice. And they had asparagus and mashed potatoes, butternut squash. So I would usually get the sides because I'm a vegan vegetarian. My wife, she eats everything. Anyway, so that cheesecake that I ate, and I had a couple of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, too, during the week, which I don't usually do. But sometimes you got to eat anything you can find, you know, when the cupboard is almost bare, so to speak. And my nose started bothering me. That's usually the first sign of, you know, coming down with something. And allergies, some people say it is. But typically, I don't have problems with allergies. It's just like when I eat too many sweets, my nose sometimes reacts, you know, and runs, and I blow in my nose, and then it's hard to breathe through my nose. But it went away in about one night. But I was thinking of going and getting tested, just in case I need to know I might have the coronavirus. And personally, in my opinion, I don't think that it's much different than the regular flu that I've gotten before in the past. I mean, these symptoms are the same. And like what Mr. Trump has right now, I think if you ask anybody, and I have actually asked, I don't believe personally, but I have been talking around some people, and I've read about people who've had the coronavirus, and it seems like to me that it's just the same as the regular flu that we've had before in the past, only just a little bit more aggressive, you know, and it can mutate into pneumonia easier, if you will. My wife had pneumonia last year, and we came close to losing her. It was very, very stressful at that time. She was on the ventilator for 6 days in the ICU. She pulled out of it, and that was good, you know. Many thanks to God for that. But I was talking with my wife the other day, and I said, you know, I could compare this to, like, you get stung by a bee, or you get stung by a scorpion. She's been stung by a scorpion, and it's just more intense, you know. Regular flu, the coronavirus, very similar, just one's a little bit stronger than the other, you know. H1N1, my wife said she had that. That's what it was last year, the H1N1 virus. And then she went to the local emergency room, you know, these places where they had these doctors were allowed to go there, you know, were covered by Medicare and TRICARE for Life. And so they told her that she had flu and gave her some cough medicine and some pills. I forget, kind of over-the-counter stuff, you know, Benadryl, whatever, I forget. But then it got worse and became pneumonia. But what she had, in fact, was the H1N1, and they didn't diagnose it properly. But fortunately, she pulled through. She had a near-death experience, too. We don't talk about it much, but she said that she was going to go down the tunnel, and she was holding on to the tunnel, and the voice must have been the voice of God, the voice of Jesus, whomever, high spiritual being, said, let go. It's not your time. And she let go, and but that's how close we came to losing her. You know, these people don't make things up. I mean, my wife is not someone, if you knew her, to make a story like that up, especially after coming back from, I mean, being in the ICU with a respirator down your throat for 6 days. Imagine how you would feel, you know. You don't make stories like that up. But I don't need convincing. I've read so many near-death experiences, and I read one last week, more than one, actually. I keep plugging away at my spiritual development, you know, because I know it's the right thing to do. How about you? Are you coming along with your spiritual development? I hope so, because really, this is like a school of learning here on Earth. Our lives are like schools in the University of the Universe. Mentioned that before. The object is to develop yourself enough sufficiently to graduate to a higher existence, because the universe is a school. It's a universe of schooling, if you will. Different grades, like grade kindergarten through 12th grade, and then university. The other planets out there are of a higher learning category, similar to a school. Therefore, reincarnation applies. It is applicable. And when we leave here, this life, hopefully later than sooner, I would like to be old when I pass away, you know, a ripe old age. I hope you do too, because I know this world can get us down at times. And we just have to keep going and not quit, you know. Myself, I see that for myself. I go back and forth with certain things. I wonder if you do too, you know, the right way of doing things. I become obsessed, it seems, whether it's in all aspects of my life, you know, whether it's exercise or how to sleep at night, you know. I know other people, I've read the reviews when buying beds. We just got a new mattress. We turned in our sleep number bed. It didn't work out. It might work for other people, but for me, when I bought our sleep number bed, and it was on the 11th of August, I was just trying to remember. And so they say you have to try it out for 30 days before you can think about returning it. So we got the split king option, two twin, extra large twin size beds. And they came and put them in, you know, the airbags are a part of the mattress and you plug them into the outlet. And then you can download the app, put it on your cell phone, and then go in there and adjust the setting of the bed, you know, whether you want it firmer or softer. So I had mine to 100 at first, and I changed it to 90 or 95, I forget. But where we went wrong, and I paid $2,000 for it, for them, the beds, they were... didn't have a lot of padding. We didn't opt for the more expensive version, you know, with memory foam, which would have been better, but I didn't even know about it. And I also didn't realize that when you buy these split kings, or where they're supposed to lift up, the head is supposed to lift up and the feet are supposed to lift up, you need the base as well. They didn't tell me that. So they were kind of moving around on our frame, the bed frame, and I would always have to ask my wife to push her side over, you know. And so then we got the sheets, finally got the sheets, the proper sheets, because we had a king-size sheet over both twin-size beds, and that might have been one of the reasons why they were moving around so much. Then we got the twin-size, extra-large sheets, and then it created a gap between them. The big dog that jumps up on the bed and sleeps next to my wife put her foot down and in between the beds and separated them. That's the way it looked. And I said to my wife, no, we got to get rid of this. This isn't working. So I called up Sleep Number, made an appointment, and they came and got the beds last week. And I had to arrange for another mattress to be shipped the same day. Otherwise, we would have had gone to spend the night at the hotel. And I ordered a Beautyrest hybrid, which has coils and memory foam, $1,700, which was a little less than the Sleep Number beds. But so far, it's been absolutely awesome. Very, very comfortable. And I've been sleeping without a pillow. That's another thing that I've been experimenting with over the years. When I was in the Army, my last 7 years in the Army, I slept without a pillow on my bed. And I felt I needed to do that, not only because of the kidney donation. I donated one of my kidneys to my son, but also I found out in 1997 that I had fractured my spine through a hyperextension injury, and that had misaligned my fourth and fifth lumbar vertebrae. So that seemed to work out for me. And then when I retired in 2004, I'd been thinking about something more comfortable, because you have just a regular coil spring mattress and you sleep on your back for 8 hours, it can leave your back feeling a little bit stiff, you know, and that was the case with me. Although I slept fairly well. I mean, as soon as my head went down the mattress, I was asleep and it was comfortable enough. I mean, I felt like I was breathing well. I didn't have any sleep apnea episodes. So in 2004, I got a Tempur-Pedic mattress with one of those contour pillows, and I was sleeping on my back, and that worked out for 4 years. And then I thought, I really would like to sleep on my side. I've been sleeping on my back for too long. So I got a conventional coil spring mattress, and I had that for a few years, and then went back to the memory foam, and then I was still sleeping on my side occasionally, and that's when I started having sleep apnea episodes. And I was telling you on a previous show, I got a CPAP machine, but I'm getting tired of using that machine. And, you know, it blows air into your nostrils, the kind I have, the mask. And I don't really, I got kind of tired of that, you know. I like the air from the window, the fresh air that comes in, not some, you know, air that's pumped by the machine. It might work for some people, but I might go back. I might just change my mind. But the way I feel right now is I love just sleeping on my mattress, this mattress without a pillow. And it's awesome. Last night was the first full night, and I just had a nap before my show today, and so far so good. And as I mentioned, I did that for 7 years. But this mattress is, I couldn't do it on a Sleep Number mattress because it wasn't padded enough. You really have to have enough padding, and it has to be thick enough. This mattress is really thick. It's like 15 inches. Anyway, I was thinking, too, about the kidney donation. I was walking around the track today. I did 2 miles around the track. That's another thing I go back and forth on, about using socks or not using socks. I've noticed that on a track, you know, you got that rubbery material, that cork-like material. And I like running. You know, I do the walk-run. I'll walk a lap and maybe run a lap or walk a lap, run half a lap, 200 meters, or I'll sprint 100 meters. You know, I like sprinting too, feeling my body, pushing my body to the limit. And I noticed that I do research on this, a lot of research. Some of the athletes, like the Olympic athletes who compete in the 100-meter, 200-meter, 400-meter runs. I'm not sure about the other kind of runs, 800-meter, 1500-meter, and so on. But, you know Usain Bolt, right? The man who he won the 100-meter and 200-meter runs in the last three Olympics. Well, he doesn't wear socks. He didn't, anyway. He probably still doesn't. You know, I'm sure he still works out in his retirement. But, and I'm not sure, there are some shoes you can buy that have the socks kind of built in, but I don't think his were like that. And some athletes do not wear socks. They say that it hinders their performance. You know, they can run faster without socks. And so I did a little research on the internet. I thought, well, if Usain Bolt doesn't wear socks, you know, tracks are different. Now, if you don't go running on the road, hit the road, then, you know, there's a lot of impact, and you really couldn't run a marathon without any socks. For one thing, your feet would sweat after a while, and your feet would rub around inside the shoe, and you'd wind up getting blisters. But I've heard of people running marathons with no shoes on. How about that? Can you imagine that, running a whole marathon barefoot on pavement? Oh, my God, it's been done. The thing about walking and running, too, the biomechanics of walking, we as human beings are meant to walk barefoot, you know, around. Sometimes it's not conducive for our feet. You know, there could be rocks and glass on the ground, you know. But what best closely duplicates or resembles that biomechanics of walking as far as shoes, the shoes we wear, and socks? Because when you put two slabs of rubber on your feet, then you kind of interrupt that process, you know. So what's best? What kind of socks? Tall socks, compression socks, no-show socks, ankle socks. I've tried them all. My God, I've got a big bag upstairs of all these socks that I've tried. And I'm not ashamed to admit that. You know, I just want to do things right. I want someone to tell me, you know, what works best for me. I can see that other people have the same questions, too. I do the research, you know, I read the reviews. So there's so much we need to know, so much we have to learn about ourselves as human beings, the right way of doing things. Walking and running is one of those aspects of our lives that we need to do it justice, if you know what I mean, and find the right way of doing it, you know, especially if we like to run. We don't like the injuries that we get from running, the stiffness that we feel afterwards in our knees and our backs. So, and the track is a little bit different because it's got that material, and it helps the feet to kind of dig in, you know, when you're running down the track. There's also a dirt track next to that one on Lackland Air Force Base that I go to sometimes. And that's a 1 mile track all the way around. It's dirt. And if you run on dirt, your feet kind of are sliding a little bit around on the dirt, you know. The road, I'm kind of I've done my share of running on a road up until last week, even, you know, working back here in the patio, teleworking. I need to take a break, go out and just walk around the neighborhood, do a little bit of running, but that impact afterwards kind of affects the body, you know, my body. And another thing about socks, too, is there's two things, and I might have mentioned this on a previous show, two main things about socks if you're a runner or someone that likes to do a lot of exercise, well, walking, you know, power walking, running. What else would it be? I guess it wouldn't be applicable to bicycle riding or rowing, but it might be. The two main things about socks is that when you're pushing yourself, you know, running fast or just plain running, for example, it kind of prevents the toes from splaying. And that's part of the biomechanics of walking, is that your toes, they're supposed to splay when they hit the ground, but it's hard when you have socks on. And also, your foot moves around inside your shoe with the socks on, whereas if you didn't have any socks on, it wouldn't. And so those two main things had led me to experimenting a lot with running, walking and running without any socks. As I mentioned, not only Usain Bolt, but a lot of other old sprinters, Olympic World Championship sprinters, also don't use socks. And anyway, so pretty interesting topic, huh? That's what's going on in my life. And, you know, those are the things I think about. I'm 66 years old, and I just want to do the right thing. I want to enjoy the benefits of exercising, but doing it properly so that I can have that good feeling afterwards and not have the injuries, you know, the stiffness, and the joints, the knees and the back. I like to be able to sprint, you know. It's a good feeling. I've done a lot of sprinting over the last few years. And also, Einstein, you can check this out on the internet. Einstein, one of the smartest fellows in the world, right? He's dead now, passed away, may God bless his soul. But he didn't wear socks. He said he never liked to wear socks. And even in the most solemn occasions, he would not wear socks. So even at a ceremony for him, you know, suit and tie, dressing up, to honor him for his achievements, you know, the theories of general and special relativity. And he didn't wear socks. He didn't care what other people thought. He said his reason was, and I don't know if this was the main reason or one that he just made up, was because every time I put on a pair of socks, it seems like my big toe will poke a hole in the sock. So why should I wear socks? It's just a waste of money because sooner or later, a hole will be created, and I'll have to throw the socks away. But I personally think it was more than that. He just didn't like the feeling of socks. He just, you know, liked to wear shoes with no socks. And it's really pretty common in Europe. Other parts of the world, socks are more like a Western creation, you know. And on that subject, like to take the toilet, for example. You know, the toilet that we sit down to relieve ourselves. I know this is a kind of a delicate subject, but in other parts of the world, like I lived in Turkey and in the Middle East and other countries around the world, India, for example, sometimes all they have is, and Japan too, they have just a hole in the ground. You have to bend, squat down, and do your thing without sitting on the toilet. The toilet is a Western creation, done, from what I was able to ascertain, for the benefits of our females in the Western civilization. But don't think that it's necessarily the right way of doing things, because other cultures have their way, you know. Who's to say what's right? It's like with Christianity too, and Muslim, the Muslim or Islamic religion, you know, which one is right, which one incorporates more truth into their religion? Is it Christianity or Muslims? Of course, you take their best debaters and put them on a debate stage, and you'll find that probably no one's going to win. The fact is that the only real truth is universal truth, you know. You know, religion is a money-making business, too. So one cannot expect to get all the answers. And that was one big thing for me, too, about Christianity, because I grew up Protestant, Anglican, you know, used to go to church. And I've been to church. I still go to, it's been a while. Last week we had a funeral. It was last Saturday. I told you about that on my last show. But I've been going to this gospel service on Lackland Air Force Base at one of the chapels. And we got back together, the choir did. One of the best things I've done in my life. And we sang one song at the funeral. And it was almost like we hadn't been apart for months, you know, because of COVID. It was good to have this man lead us. He does it so well. His name's Bradley. And the choir was right there, and I'm a baritone, and I'm singing along, and it's like, wow, this is just like yesterday, but it's been since March since we sang together. Anyway, I just want to change the subject now, my friends. Between 9 and 12 o'clock tonight, if you could join this band of brothers and sisters here on earth that believe in extraterrestrial life out there, yeah, between 9 and 12 p.m. tonight, if you could go out, look up at the stars, and just think universal peace, universal brotherhood, sisterhood, because there's a man by the name of Dr. Stephen Greer who is championing this project to disclose, among other things, all the information that the governments of the world have about UFOs, flying saucers, and extraterrestrials, to acknowledge that we have made contact with the ETs out there, and they're just like us, they're people. But they've been alive a lot longer. Their civilization has been in existence a lot longer than us. Now, that's understandable because if you consider how long the universe has been in existence, when it first began creating, forming itself, the wishes of the Supreme Creator who initiated the Big Bang, and one solar system after another was formed, and then one galaxy after another, you know, galaxies fill up with solar systems, and then they have to start a new galaxy, if you know what I mean. And here we are, approximately 15 billion light years from the center of the universe and the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. Do you know how far away that is? 15 billion light years? You know how far it is to the closest star, Alpha Centauri? 4 light years. Now take the Voyager 1 and 2 spacecraft traveling towards, in that direction, towards Alpha Centauri. And when did they get launched? Back in the 70s. And they're going maybe 40,000 miles an hour. You know how long it's going to take them just to get 4 light years? Thousands of years. Not to mention 15 billion light years. Oh, my God. So the ETs are out there. You can bet your last dollar on it, my friends. Besides, let me prove to you I enjoy doing this. I've done it so many times before. To prove to you that there is life out there. All this life here on Earth. Over a million types of insects. Over 30,000 types of fish. Over 10,000 types of reptiles. Birds. 9,000 types of amphibians. 5,000-6,000 types of mammals. All the different types of trees, thousands of them, flowers, many, many thousands of them, fruits and vegetables. If all that happened by accident, logically could happen by accident elsewhere, anywhere in the universe. But if there is a creator who is powerful and knowledgeable enough to create all this life on Earth, then logically, that creator would have the same power, enough power, the power, if you will, and the knowledge to create either the same life or different life anywhere. I'm talking about anywhere. We cannot limit the creator's ability to create, period. And especially where. And it's time we get away from this kind of Copernican mindset. I say that because we're stuck in a gap right now, not knowing for sure. We don't have proof. We don't have the concrete evidence that life exists out there. Well, they didn't have the proof until Columbus sailed the ocean blue that the world was actually round instead of flat. And at one time, people like you and me living on this planet thought that the Earth was at the center of the universe and the universe revolves around it. Well, hello. No, it doesn't. The Earth revolves around our sun. Our sun revolves around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And the Milky Way galaxy revolves around the center of the universe. And that is fact. That is the truth. That's an amazing ride we're on. There's a power, my friends, a power that is rotating our world at about 600 miles an hour. The sun over in the distance right now, I'm watching it set. It's easy to call it that way, but what's happening is that the world is turning. And that's the way it looks. And time, really, when you think about it, time is non-existent. I mean, there's really no yesterday. There's no tomorrow. There's just a world traveling through outer space, revolving around the sun, rotating on its axis. And our solar system is traveling around the Milky Way galaxy at so many thousands of miles an hour. It's an amazing situation we're a part of here. And we don't really think about it too often. We've got other things to think about. Staying alive, for sure, is one of them. You know, get in your car and head out on the freeway. You know, it's like riding with Lady Luck or God's Blessings. That song reminds me of that song by the Eagles. Freeways, cars, and trucks, riding with Lady Luck. I say a prayer, my friends, every time I get in my car, that God would keep us safe. And I say we, because I know that sometimes it's not just me, it's other people out there. And that makes sense to me, you know. And if I'm wrong, if there is no God, and then that prayer is not wasted. I think that's what I believe. I believe it's not wasted. Well, that didn't make sense, did it? Let me rephrase it this way. If it doesn't make any difference, then I don't know. But if it did make a little bit of difference? If it does change things, and even the slightest possibility of changing my destiny, my future, then I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to go ahead and pray, you know, especially when you see the numbers flashed up above the road, you know, like so far this year, 2,500 people have died on Texas roads, which is sad, you know. This is a planet of sorrows. I mean, it isn't one thing, it's another, you know. And Mr. Trump has coronavirus, changing the subject. Well, as I mentioned, I don't think it's that serious. I know with some people, it is. A lot of people have died. But, you know, the majority of them have been the older people. But I think Mr. Trump, he's pretty strong, and he'll pull through. I still need to get tested myself. But I feel okay. Just a little. I have some kind of minor symptoms. But that doesn't mean I have the coronavirus, does it? Doesn't mean I have the coronavirus, does it? I'll find out because I'm going to go pick up something at Walmart. Not Walmart, Walgreens. I'm having a colonoscopy on the 20th. And also an upper GI. So I've got to go get my prep liquid, you know, that nasty stuff, hopefully. I asked a lady, I said, did that make that liquid any better tasting? And she said, oh, I don't know. But my last colonoscopy was in 2012. And so I went to this doctor last week to be tested for GERD, which is acid reflux. And the reason is because I'm working with a lawyer to get disability from the VA. And when one has a kidney donation, help me out here. Well, I guess you really can't. But I've been doing a lot of thinking about when I donated one of my kidneys to my son back in 1995, how the body is different when you give up one of your kidneys, when you have only one kidney. How different is it? Well, I don't really remember. I don't have some documentation about how I felt. I only have vague memories of what it was like before. But afterwards, you know, they say that a person could live very well on one kidney. My ex-wife had an aunt who, at about age 40, she lost a kidney, and then she lived to be about 80-some years old with one kidney. And that's always been on my mind, too. I was active duty when I had my kidney donation. And it was the right thing to do. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. But for people that are wondering whether or not it's a good thing to donate one of their kidneys, it's a very difficult thing to decide, I believe. They will tell you that you can exist well enough on one kidney. However, there's not a lot of research that's been done over the years. That might be one reason why I kind of obsess about some things. It's kind of like anxiety and PTSD, which I've been diagnosed as having by the VA because of kidney donation. It just gravitates you towards a healthier lifestyle, for one. Thus, I became a vegan vegetarian. I'm concerned about the ethical reasons also for being a vegan. I was always kind of a guy that wouldn't want to kill a fly, you know. But who am I to judge other people? I mean, I ate everything until I was 44 years old. And if the creator put these foods here for us to eat, I mean, the body can grow perfectly well eating meat of any kind, you know, from a baby, or maybe not immediately a baby. You know, after a few months, they can start eating solid food, meat, whatever, and they grow on that. It grows a body, so therefore it works. It's digestible. Only that it's a little more harder to digest than other foods. That's logical, right? So one thing I noticed is that when I donated my kidney is that, okay, now I seem to be having just a minor digestive change. And I don't know for sure, but it seems like I've got to start a diet that's a little bit more easier to digest. Because at the time, I didn't give up eating meat until 1999, 4 years later. All right, here comes one of our dogs.
All right, no. No, you stay in here. You can't come out barking. No. 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 One of our dogs started barking, and she wants to come out and bark. And I told her no, so she's quieted down.
All right.
All right. No. Don't come out here and start barking. I've got my radio show going on, okay? Don't cool down.
So, I mean, I want to discourage anybody from donating a kidney. It's a wonderful gift. My son's best friend's mother gave him one of her kidneys back in 2014 at the University of Michigan. My transplant was done at the at Stanford University in San Francisco. I think it's a great gift to give up a kidney to help someone. But to be honest with you, there are some changes, albeit them slight changes. And you'll be thinking a lot about doing the right thing, what you ingest, you know, drinking more water, eating less sugar, eating less fats. That will be on your mind. I think some people say, well, it seems like God gave you two kidneys, but you don't really need both of them. Well, I disagree with that. I think God didn't make any mistakes, although they say the appendix is a mistake that doesn't have any function in the human body. But I believe we do need, oh, don't hurry, it's one of our dogs. Hi, Goldie. We'll start barking. I've got my show going on here, okay? One of our dogs, she's an American Pit Bull Terrier. Her name is Goldie. And I call her Super Dog because she's so strong. She's very beautiful and loving. She runs very fast, and she can jump quite a height, too. I mean, she's very powerful, and so I call her Super Dog. And our other dog, she's a Smooth Fox Terrier female. They're both females. I call her a ninja dog because she's got some really neat moves. She's got six toes on her back feet, too. You know, they're only supposed to have five toes, but she's got six toes. Our big dog, we had a big black lab. He passed away back in June. And they used to tussle. They used to wrestle in their younger years. And they were doing some moves. And I saw what they were doing. I thought, they're ninja dogs, you know. And then Shaka passed away. I called him Ninja Master because he was like an awesome dog. He would turn into like a werewolf sometimes. We'd go out and I would look and his whole face, his head would just change. You know, he was out in the wilderness for like 8 days. We lost him for 8 days. He got almost got hit. We actually did get hit by this car. This was back in 2012. My wife had taken Shaka and Shakira, which is the Smooth Fox Terrier I was telling you about. Back in those days, she thought that she could control them without having them on a leash, and she was walking through long streets and stuff. Well, one night, they ran across this road. This car was coming down the hill at about 40 miles an hour, and they ran in front of the car, and Shakira made it, but Shaka, he got clipped right on his tail, at the end of his tail, and it sent him rolling on the ground. And later, when we got him back 8 days later, we noticed that the very tip of his where the tail goes into the body, that's where he'd been hit. That's how close it was. If it, you know, hit him like a little bit more on his flank, it might have crippled him, you know, or killed him. It was a miracle, really. But anyway, when he rolled over several times, then he got up and ran away, and we were looking for him. He freaked out, and I think he was trying to find his way back to the car, which is parked down the road behind the grocery store. And we couldn't find him that night, and oh, my God, we went through the whole process. We put up posters, walked around looking for him here and there, everywhere. Hold on. There he is, old Goldie. So anyway, he was out in the wilderness for 8 days before he was picked up by the pound. That's where we found him. And we know that he must have had some interaction with coyotes. So many coyotes around here in San Antonio. Behind our backyard, there's a 24-acre park. And every now and then, the coyotes sound off. You know, there's got to be a pack of 10, 20 of them out there at least. And then we have Mr. Beta, our dachshund, who is male, about maybe 8, 9, 10 years old. And I call him Mighty Dog because he's so powerful. And he's got muscles on his legs, and he loves to run. You know, we take him out running, and he runs all over the place. You know, we walk like 3/4 of a mile on the route we usually do when we take the dogs out. And he's a runner. There's a lot of sneezing, too. I don't know if you've noticed with dachshunds. They do a lot of sneezing. I think it's their physiology. You know, the way they're shaped like that. It causes them to sneeze a lot. Because he'll sneeze several times a day, and sometimes he sneezes like 10 times in a row. You know, just the whole body shaking and just blowing, you know, boogers out of his nostrils, so to speak. But anyway, so back to changing the subject again, back to the ETs. The sun's going down. They're out there, like I said, between 9 and 12 tonight. How am I doing on time, by the way? 6:47, so I got about 10 more minutes. Between 9 and 12 tonight, please go out and look up at the stars. Think of your universal brothers and sisters out there. There's an intergalactic federation of sovereign planets that are waiting to induct us into their federation. As you know, we have had a very violent past here on our planet throughout the centuries. That's no surprise. You know that. Even now, there's signs of violence everywhere. Well, we need to get rid of that violence, my friends. Peace. Just think of the future generations to come, your children's children, down the road. What do we want to leave them in terms of a planet? That's their generation. I mean, we've got our generation now, but future generations. Are we doing all we can to ensure the survival of the human species? One thing that blows my mind, to put it in a certain way, for lack of a better way of describing it, is how as a human race we've not ensured our longevity by trying to put a base on the moon and Mars. It seems like we know that the Earth's been hit by asteroids before. How do we know there's not one that's coming around the corner? I've talked about this on a previous show. According to Lou Famoso and his near-death experience, Lou Famoso, check it out yourself, Famoso, he had, I'll just touch on it briefly, he was in a Mustang going to a party. He lost control, going at 100 miles an hour, flipped end over end, caught on fire. He was thrown from the car, had a gaping head wound. And so he had a near-death experience. He claims that he came face-to-face with the Creator, this huge spirit of a being made of light energy, a very kind of like nuclear type of energy, outlined as if with a fine quill pen, loving to the max, right? Beautiful. Powerful, authoritative. And I mentioned this to you before also, that the Creator said that man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. P-R-E-Y. Man will prey on man. P-R-E-Y. Until man learns to pray. P-R-A-Y for man. And I see that on the news so much, especially the different news channels that are not Trump supporters, they just prey on him. I'm not saying which side I am, one side or the other, but some of the things they've been talking about, you know, Mr. Trump getting the coronavirus. I mean, it's like, dude, don't you have something better to say about the man? Can you give him a break? I mean, he's had a rough from the very beginning. You know, personally, in my opinion, the Russia collusion was a hoax. Trump fired James Comey. And so then they did that independent investigation with Mueller. A farce, if you ask me, politics, you know. And then the impeachment, only because the Democrats won back the House. I feel my blood getting up a little bit, my blood pressure rising when I talk about it. And I think about they'd never really given him a chance, you know. I mean, they've been at his back the whole time. And even now, some of these news stations are just praying. They're the ones that are still praying. Although, I got to give them credit. They do talk about praying. There has been some prayers, and that's a good thing, I think. Praying, yes. We all need to pray for each other. That's the bottom line. That's what I was trying to say. But these people, I mean, I can understand the competition between the Democrats and the Republicans. You know, it's like a game. You know, it's like the Lakers and the Heat. playing in the NBA Finals. You know, it's a game. It's a competition. There's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. Now I ask you, is that the proper way to govern a country? But that's concerned for the well-being of the people? I think not. I say lose some of that competition, my friends. Reach between the aisle. Resolve your differences. At least they're not getting into fistfights in the Congress, you know. That's a good thing. Some countries do that. Resolve your differences by talking, but you got to find some common ground. You got to be able to compromise, you know. But if, say, Joe Biden wins, right, next month, I think automatically the Republicans are going to be on his back, you know. Joe did this, Joe did that, blah, 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 blah. So what are we going to do? How are we going to move forward? Pray. Prayer is the answer. Hey, it doesn't take that much. It's not that hard. Hold on. One of our dogs, Goldie, she came back out again, went back in. I think she just likes to interrupt my show. No, I don't know. Anyway, so pray. You know, something like, God, hey, God, please bless Mr. Trump. You know, he's a good man. I wouldn't want to see him die. I wouldn't want to see anybody die. That wouldn't be good for my soul anyway if I was praying for someone to die. Karma, my friends, karmic debt is a reality. You've got to consider that what you say, what you give, you receive. And that could have implications for your eternal soul. Okay, Goldie's come back out. Okay, now she's going to bury it. She got a piece of pizza from last night, and she loves to take these little pieces of food and bury them throughout the yard. It's a game that she plays with the other dogs, you know, to see if they can find it, I guess. Anyway, so between 9 and 12 o'clock tonight, universal peace. And one thing I'm concerned about is global warming, you know, climate change. I like that about the Democrats. You know, I think they'd be better for the climate. And I know that the ecological system is very delicately created, you know, and when we disrupt that, it could have some long-term implications. And historically, the Democrats have always stood for, hey, no more. Come on now. Can't keep coming out here. Come on. Okay, well, it's about time to go anyway. We've got 1 minute. So, my friends, 9 to 12 tonight, please. Look on. Go out and look at stars. And I'll do the same. And think of universal brotherhood. I love you. May God bless you. May the creator of the universe bless you in any way you need it. And take good care of yourselves. Sure, get enough vitamin D, sunshine, and I will talk with you next week. All right. Bye-bye.